Even as David Valadao conceded to his congressional seat, much of the state's remaining Republican strongholds are in the San Joaquin Valley, particularly Kern, Madera, and Tulare counties. And the reason has a lot to do with the Dust Bowl and the migrants who came to California in the 1920s and 30s. In fact, there's a link between support for Republican candidates in the 2018 midterms and the degree to which a county's population came from Dust Bowl states. That's according to a new paper by Adam Ramey. He's a professor of political science at the New York University campus in the United Arab Emirates. He spoke with me on the phone from Abu Dhabi. So you teach at the New York University campus in Abu Dhabi. How on earth did you become interested in the political outcomes of three San Joaquin Valley counties?
I think the real impetus for this research area that I've been involved in surrounding the Central Valley, and in particular the migration of Okies during the Great Depression, the impetus for that project came to me actually purely by accident. I was speaking with a friend and colleague of mine who is actually himself originally from the Fresno area, and we were doing a project together, completely unrelated to this one, and we were actually looking at language features, the ways in which individuals speak differently across parts of the United States, the ways in which we pronounce various sorts of words. And I came across a language map, and there's a fairly famous one that looks at the ways in which Americans pronounce the words pen, as in the thing that you write with, and pin, as in something that you might put on a lapel. And in two regions, individuals pronounce those two words the same. Pin and pen are pronounced exactly the same. The Southern United States and the Central Valley in California. And I found that, I said, that seems really strange. And he told me, no, it's not strange. He said, well, you know, there were all these people who migrated from the Plain States during the Dust Bowl, and so it's unsurprising that their descendants continue to speak with those inflections in their voices. And then that got me really interested, and I remembered the Dust Bowl from reading Steinbeck as a teenager, and so I started doing a whole bunch of research and gathering data, and then I just found myself completely immersed in the world of the Central Valley.
Well, that's such an interesting link. And you define Okie in a kind of broader way than just the Texas and Oklahoma panhandles, correct?
Exactly, yeah. Defining Okie as I learned, is kind of a tricky business. Some use the term Okie to explicitly refer to those who are from Oklahoma. Some use it to refer to individuals who are from the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas, which were the epicenter of the Dust Bowl in the 20s and 30s. And some take a much broader view to look at anybody who came from the Central Plain states during that Dust Bowl era.
So these were the people who fled the farm crisis of the 1920s and the Great Depression that followed. So then they came to California, and according to your paper, they had a demonstrable effect on political outcomes to this day.
Yeah, I mean, what's intriguing to me, you know, it's unsurprising to me that new people move to an area, even in the contemporary period that we live in. We have millions of Americans are moving around the country. We've got immigrants coming from all different countries, all different parts of the world. And so it's not surprising that when new people come to a place, that they might actually affect the politics of that place, or might affect the political behavior in that place. But what's interesting to me about this Okie case is that the effects that I found in studying the migration to the Central Valley in the 20s and 30s are effects that are still as strong today, if not stronger today, than they were in the past.
So how is that possible 100 years later?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I think that's one that a lot of us social scientists wrestle with. And I think that the part of the story is that there is a certain degree of ancestral memory. So the Okies who, or the descendants of Okies who continue to live in the Central Valley today, have received a cultural tradition that's been passed on to them by their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And that cultural tradition embodies a certain set of values, some of which are religious, some of which are civic, some of which are political in nature. But I also think that there's, and this is the most interesting part that I found here, is I've looked at public opinion data, and what I found is that the Hispanics and Latinos who are living in the Central Valley are also politically conservative in ways that that whites in the Central Valley are as well. If you look at a host of different issues, ranging from abortion to gun rights to the likelihood of voting for Republican candidates for both state, local, and national offices, Hispanics in the Central Valley look a lot more similar to whites in the Central Valley in terms of their political attitudes than they do to Hispanics in the rest of California. And that suggests to me that the Okie migration to California didn't just shape the attitudes of the descendants of those Okies nearly a century later. It affected people who moved in and had no connection to that experience. So I think that Hispanics and Latinos who came into the Central Valley after the Okie migration were influenced by the culture, influenced by the music, by the way of life, by the dress, by the way of worship, by all the things that the Okie community brought to the Central Valley. And so I think that that aspect, that stickiness of the culture is really what's to play, and it's affecting everybody, not just the descendants of those who suffered through the experiences of the Dust Bowl, but by everybody who's moved to that area since.
When we think of California migrants from the Dust Bowl, we inherently think of farmers or sharecroppers, but that's not necessarily the case, is it?
No. In fact, by estimates, again, coming from the census data, it's somewhere around between 40 and 45% of those migrants who came initially were working in farming. And in fact, if you think about it, when the Dust Bowl happened, of course, it was a massive agricultural depression that affected the entire Central Plains, but it didn't just affect farmers. It affected school teachers, business owners, and the entire swath of society. So the people who packed up and left Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas, they weren't just farmers who were leaving. It was everybody else whose life was affected by the poor crop. And so, indeed, a lot of the migrants that we saw, in fact, it's estimated that about a third of them were coming from white-collar backgrounds. And this is white-collar as of 1940.
Wow, that's so interesting. You know, when I think about particularly migrant farm workers, you think that they would have more liberal values. Typically, they would vote Democratic. So I'm wondering why their values were so conservative.
Well, it's actually an interesting story. And when the migrants first arrived in the 1930s, there was a huge political battle over their support. In particular, many in the state of California, particularly from the Republican ranks, were concerned that they would unionize and that they would tend to support the Democrats. And indeed, the Democratic Party did pretty well in the Central Valley relative to the state as a whole during the first couple of decades after the Okie migration. But as the Democratic Party began to move a bit to the left, particularly with regards to social and cultural issues in the 60s, that was the period where we really start to see the areas of the Central Valley where the Okies concentrated themselves during the Depression era. That's when we start to see them kind of break apart from the rest of the state and start to move solidly in the Republican column.
So do you see these counties like Kern and Tulare continuing to support Republicans even as places like Orange County are changing?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm sure that the Republican Party in California is wondering exactly the same thing. I think that, you know, on the basis of the evidence that I found thus far, I think that for the foreseeable future, they are going to continue supporting the GOP. You know, again, as the evidence that I found has suggested, not only whites, but also Latinos living in the Central Valley are embodying conservative values and the likelihood to be more willing to vote for Republicans than Hispanics in other parts of the state. Now, of course, there are some caveats here, and it's entirely possible that if the Republican Party under President Trump continues to take harsh lines toward immigrant communities, that even conservative leaning Hispanics in the Central Valley might eventually say enough is enough. But for the foreseeable future, I think that the Central Valley will be the epicenter of what is left of the Republican Party in California.
In other words, are you saying that Republican Orange County didn't benefit from the heritage that was passed down by migrants from the Dust Bowl, or as you called it, the stickiness of the culture?
The culture is the key component here. I mean, so Orange County was the bedrock of American conservatism. It was the sort of the birthplace of the Reagan Revolution, and was long one of the most conservative places in California. It voted for Barry Goldwater in 64 when the Central Valley went against Goldwater for Johnson. But the cultural underpinnings of conservatism that are present in the Central Valley make it much more a core part of individuals' existences. And I think that, you know, when you have sort of a foundational culture that forms the basis for attitudes, I think that makes those attitudes much harder to break.
Wow. Thank you for giving us research that provides context into why parts of the San Joaquin Valley continue to be Republican strongholds in California. Again, I've been talking with Adam Ramey, a political science professor at NYU Abu Dhabi. Thanks again, Adam.
Thank you very much.